Hello. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks the Giants should have given up 10 more draft picks for Leonard Williams. I think you can guess why. So in advance of today's show with Dominique Foxworth, I thought we would have a lot of trades. I expected to sort of ride in surging with the adrenaline of a million NFL trades. But that did not happen, Dominique. I'm a little disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, we got excited. The trade deadline's been something. It's been a thing the last couple of years for the NFL. But now we've just gone back to status quo where the trade deadline really means nothing in NFL because no one gets moved.
Tell the listeners what you referred to yourself as before we started.
It's not what I referred to myself as. I just came to the realization. It's a fact. Is that I thought I meant something to you in this podcast community, but I know that I'm nothing more than a podcast booty call. And whenever times are tough and you need to get a guest last minute, you're super busy, you shoot me a text like, you up for a podcast? And I always say yes, but I never get invited on the daily. That's your fancy podcast. That's like taking
ESPN
me out in public.
Daily.
You would never take me out on the ESPN daily. It's just so disrespectful.
But by the way, if you're listening and you haven't downloaded ESPN Daily, give it a shot. It's every day. It's under 20 minutes. It's like perfect for your commute. We do a different sports story.
Give it 5 stars, but write in the reviews that you wish Dominique Foxworth was on it.
Yeah, do that, actually, while you're at it. Listen, first of all, I reached out to you last week, so it wasn't at the last minute. And the premise of this show, I'm excited about it, but I thought it would be interesting in the context of the trade deadline. Because I said, Dominique, I want to talk about the top 10 teams using ESPN's Football Power Index. So don't yell at me for how they're ranked. And I want to kind of go through each of them as we go into the second half of the season and identify what could be their weakness. Now, I said that thinking, these trades might shake that up, right? Like the Cowboys' weakness, perhaps they need a safety, and there was talk they might trade for Jamal Adams. So I thought perhaps coming off the trade deadline, we would have to scramble and readjust. But pretty much none of these teams did anything ahead of the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I mentioned, it's the status quo for the NFL, but I think it's also we've chilled the market as people in the media because the last couple of trades that came out is we just eviscerated the trades because people gave way too much. So I think that has a factor in, like that factors into the decision-making process. You don't want to be the one. You don't want to be Bill O'Brien where for a week everyone is just railing against how terrible a trader you are.
Well, that's an interesting point also because these big trades, they happen a lot earlier, right? I mean, I guess the last one was Jalen Ramsey, Marcus Peters, but they didn't go all the way up against the deadline. And perhaps there were some reasons for that in terms of how the market was being set. The teams that traded for them sort of knew where they stood earlier. It feels like, and I think that's maybe the conclusion I would draw from this, Dominique, is that this season, very early on, I feel like the haves and the have-nots in the NFL were pretty clearly delineated, right? Like, yeah. We're going to go through the top 10 teams, and there are a few teams that should probably be in there or on the outside looking in, but there's a pretty wide gap between teams that are competitive this year and teams that are not.
Right. That's the funny thing about us being critical of some of the top teams, saying they play the weak schedule, but kind of almost everybody has played a weak schedule because there aren't that many good teams. The NFC is loaded with teams, but there's not a lot. It seems like it's kind of top heavy, and the AFC, excuse me, there are a lot at the top, but at the bottom, it's not very good, and the AFC seems like there are just a couple teams that we believe in, and everybody else is kind of trash.
Why do you think that? I mean, I guess some of it is unexpected, right? Like, I think people thought the Browns would be a lot better, and I don't think they planned to be bad, but perhaps some of it is because as teams, I don't want to say it's not like baseball where teams are not trying, although there are some teams that are obviously not trying as hard as others. But it does feel like perhaps with advancements in terms of teams and their front offices being aware of their cycles of competitiveness, which is a tremendous euphemism, it's like they're kind of throwing in, maybe not throwing in the towel early on, but they're planning more definitively.
Yeah, maybe that's part of it. I think that could be part of it, but I also think it could just also be the difference between good organizations and bad. And there's been like a analytics revolution in a lot of sports, and I think it's come to football a little later. And I think it's possible that also some teams are ahead and some teams are still trying to catch up and figure out the new way football is being played. I know it sounds foolish, but I think that when you look around, the teams that are good are normally stable organizations that you can kind of rely on them to be smart and make good decisions. And also, like, the rules changes force a lot more pressure onto the quarterback, so I think that really is much more a decider than it was in the past. I know we've always been focused on quarterbacks, but I think in the past you could get away, or not even get away, you could have a team that was built around a running game and defense. That was a thing that could happen in the past, and maybe that was in part because of the antiquated way that everyone viewed football. But you can't do that anymore. You really, it's hard to have any type of sustained success in this league without a elite level quarterback.
Yeah, and as we go through these top 10 teams, again, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, most of them have elite quarterbacks. Some don't, and I think it'll be interesting to talk about that. But we will be starting with a team that I'm curious to hear how you characterize the quarterback or what you think the weaknesses of this team is, the number one team, according to ESPN's FPI. But before we get to that, first I want to remind you to check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones. This week, Bo discusses LeBron's hairline and reviews Kanye West's 9th album, Jesus is King. I haven't listened to that yet. Download and subscribe to The Right Time with Bomani Jones wherever you get your podcasts. Also, download and subscribe to ESPN Daily while you're at it. All right, Dominique, go back and forth on these teams. Okay. The number one team in football is the New England Patriots. So let me ask you, what is their weakness?
Their quarterback stinks.
This is, I think, easier than the number two team.
Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback stinks is the problem. Is he just, he's overrated. He's trash. No, I mean, he's played, if we're going to look at this from a truly, truly analytical standpoint and forget that he's Tom Brady, the best of all time, I think that we would have questions about a quarterback, a nameless, faceless quarterback like this. We would, the discussion would be the defense is carrying this game manager, which is what he's been so far, which is fine. And we all know he's capable of stepping up more. I'm not going to be crazy enough to say that he is actually the weakness, but I do think that their offense is the weakness. And their passing inconsistency on the passing game, I think, is part of the problem, or is a big part of the problem. And I think their defense is as good as it is. There are issues with that defense. They don't have much of a pass rush, and they've been kind of shaky against the run. I watched a lot of them this week in preparation for breaking down their game against their upcoming game against the Ravens, and they give up some big runs here and there, which is not a big deal in modern football, especially if you're going to turn the ball over a lot, which is what they do. But I think there are holes in this all-time great defense, and there seems to be no answer in the passing game, because I think in big time situations, we've seen this with the Patriots time and time again, they go to their one or two offensive playmakers, namely Gronk, in those situations when you can't outcoach someone. You just have to kind of do an NBA style ISO situation, and you give it to your guy and you let him cook. They don't have that guy this year, and that could prove to be a problem, especially since we're past the trade deadline.
It's funny, by the way, you mentioned this Ravens matchup, because they're the number 10 team. Spoiler alert. I'm going to give you their win. I think there's a couple of areas, and I am so pumped for this matchup. For the reason you described, by the way, because Patriots defense, don't do what the Seahawks defense did to try to stop Lamar Jackson. It's upsetting. Some of that, it's Lamar is absurd, but
But the Seahawks,
yeah, I think it's fair.
I don't want to go on a tangent, but I'll just say the Seahawks defensive plan was not good.
Yeah. I mean, I saw you posted about, I think it was, Wagner was on the tight end, right? I saw you posted little animations where
it was a third
nobody
and
was spying Lamar.
It was a third and 10, they took the defensive end and dove him inside. So essentially gave him the edge and then blitzed off the boundary side and forced Lamar out of the pocket with nobody there to spy for him. Like, what are you doing? And he ran for like 40 yards. Anyway, tangent.
Yeah, most of the rest of the game, they did spy him. It still didn't work.
Nope. I mean, they did spy him on different occasions.
Yes.
I would not say most of the rest of the game. There are at least two other third downs where I saw them run that exact same blitz and they didn't spy him. And I think there are techniques to spy, which we can talk about if you want to go into that, but they were having like a soft spy, which you can't do that. You have to be more aggressive and fill those holes and contain on the outside. But tangent.
I think some of that has to do with the Seahawks are not in this group, by the way, but I think what you're describing, this phenomena, and why they are sometimes forced to make bad decisions on defense has to do with their over-reliance on base personnel, right? Because of who they have, lack of, which actually I thought they might be in. This is okay. Tangent. So let's go back to the Patriots. So I think you're right. I mean, the Sanu trade was interesting to me. Field and I, Yates and I talked about it last week as it happened. And I thought it was kind of interesting because I found his skill set to be somewhat duplicative with Edelman, which is funny because they are very different human beings, like size wise. But, and, I think that they, it was sort of a bit of a statement, right? As to what they think this offense is capable of, what they think Brady can do. So I think playmakers is right. I think the offensive line obviously has some issues. Some of that manifested a bit on, against the Browns, even though that was a bit of a game that got out of hand for them. You know, typically they benefit so much from Brady getting the ball out quickly, but, there's been a couple times this season where it feels like you're finally starting to see some cracks on that line.
Yeah, I kind of always thought that offensive and defensive line are a good way to, like, predict how good a team is. And if that's true, you shouldn't feel great about these Patriots team, especially in pass rush situations. So they're 25th in pass block win rate, 25th in the whole league. And they're 22nd in the league in pass rush win rate. So they're pretty bad up front when it comes to passing situations on both sides.
They're an interesting test, too, right, which is elite secondary. How much can you get by with that? And last season, they had zero pass rush until the postseason, after which Belichick was able to just, or Patricia, I guess at the time, was able to, or no, Patricia, pardon me, Flores was with Belichick at the time, able to gin up a pass rush out of pretty much nothing, just like Kyle Van Noy and some tissue paper. So, who's been really good, but still, yeah, I think on the lines, you're right, there's a little bit of weakness there. It's funny because the FBI has the Patriots is better than this next team, but when I went down San Francisco's roster and sort of the various metrics, they're just clearly the best team in the NFL right now, I think. I think I would have said, just if you looked at the roster and the health of the squad, it would seem to be offensive line, right? They've had Staley out. He might be coming back Thursday. And then McGlinchey, the other tackle, is projected to come back in November. But against Carolina, which last week when I previewed this game, I said it was like finally a test for this, you know, battled 49ers offensive line. They own them. I mean, part of it was Jimmy got the ball out in 2.3 seconds on average, which is the third fastest in the NFL, average of 4.4 completed air yards. So clearly that was strategic. But the two tackles, Justin School and Dan Brunskill, two real human beings. School was from Vandy, rookie, and then Brunskill was an AEF player. They look good. Again, a lot of that is a product of the scheme, but it's not the weakness of the team, I think, especially with those players coming back. So they might be the rare team in the top 10 where I'd say quarterback is, even though Jimmy played really well in this game, are probably the weakness because God knows I'm not picking anyone on this defense.
Yeah, I mean, I know we had conversations early in the season where you thought the weakness was the secondary, and I think by name alone, I think you'd be right, But a bunch of these no-name guys, with exception of Richard Sherman, they are showing up every week, and I enjoy good defensive back play. And I mean, you kind of have to have that in the league today.
It's very shocking. I mean, I think Dominique, statistically, the improvement from last season to this is probably unprecedented. I'm throwing in a bunch of caveats because I didn't actually look up the statistics, but. Yeah. That's doesn't that feel right?
I mean, it's absolutely right. And I mean, we've talked about this all the time, how the pressure makes things easier in the secondary and also the threat of pressure. Like you just talked about how, 49ers game plan essentially was to make sure that Garoppolo got the ball out of his hands quickly. That's everybody's game plan against the 49ers also. And it's a lot easier when the opponent is trying to throw the ball quickly. It's a lot easier to cover, for a shorter period of time. It's the amount of routes that you have to cover and prepare for it just makes things easier. So their job is made a lot easier just by the threat of that D line.
I would have also said, again, offensive line, but they played well. The other position I probably would have said, in speaking of trades that have already happened, would have been wide receiver. But then they went out and grabbed Emmanuel Sanders, who just a perfect fit for this offense. Really one of the more underrated. Did you play with him? But no, you didn't.
I'm old.
You were out of Denver before you got there. Yeah. Well, really, I think one of the underrated, like, route runners in the NFL, super reliable, pass catcher, you know, lets Goodwin do what he does. I think I like Deebo Samuel, but I think he adds an element to the offense in terms of just being a sort of a, what do you call that when a guy's really reliable? Safety valve.
There it is.
For Garoppolo, in addition to Kittle. Yeah, and because this rushing attack in San Francisco is just so obscene, even with guys banged up, you see defenses stacking the box more and more, and the opportunity is really there for him.
Do you think Sanders and Sanu text each other every morning about how happy they are to be traded out of their out of their locations to legitimate Super Bowl contenders?
Who's happier?
I don't know. I assume that Sanu is happier because that
really?
Jump. Well. I mean, you go to a place that's just almost inevitable that you're going to be in the Super Bowl. And you go to have a future Hall of Famer quarterback. I think Sanu is probably happier than if you go, but I mean, Sanders was in a fight with Cortland Sutton and like he wasn't happy out there with Joe Flacco in Denver. Like he wanted to get up out of there and he'd been there for a while. I don't know. I think Sanu.
He really did,
Sanu,
right?
Happier.
It's like, when two people both make it out of like a difficult neighborhood and then they see each other and they're both doing really well, you know. Or no, you know what? It's like that Paul Rudd. You've seen that video of Paul Rudd on the internet?
Look at us
now. Who would have? Yeah.
I hope they play each other in the Super Bowl. So that you can send that out. Look at us. The two of us. Here in Miami.
All right. Next team, according to FBI, I keep saying according to FBI so people don't yell at me for all these teams.
Shut up, people.
Is Kansas City. So I think this one's pretty clear.
Their defense.
It's quarterback.
Yeah, Matt Moore is going to be a problem. No, I mean, yeah, Matt Moore is not the problem. There is no problems on the offense as long as you have Andy Reid and you have explosive playmakers. And when Patrick Mahomes gets back, he's good enough, I think, to take them all the way to and through the Super Bowl, no matter how bad their defense is. But their defense is very bad. Of all the teams, I'm not sure. No, actually, Dallas's defense is bad per the DVOA measure, but this team has fewer playmakers. They got rid of their pass rushers in order to kind of opt for a more coverage-focused model, I guess, by going for Matthews. But I don't know. It's just the defense. I don't know where to start with the holes. We talked about this. I don't know if this was offline or just text or whatever, but just like for their defense, I think it's too late to be fundamentally sound. It's too late to acquire more talent. They need to just focus on one thing, like just jump routes or play good red zone defense. These are one of those two things are your only options because you're not going to stop people. You just don't have the personnel or scheme to stop anybody.
So they're 17th in DVOA, but 30th against the run, right? They lost to the Colts. There was sort of this narrative, yes, like you got to run to keep Mahomes off the field, even though he had like the same number of drives, but whatever. Which you run because their run defense sucks. It's not about time of possession, right? You do it because it's easy.
Yeah.
And it's just, they just didn't fix it. And, you know, Frank Clark, who they traded a bunch for, which is, you know, why they really couldn't be too active ahead of this deadline. He has, I guess, been a little bit more effective over the last couple of games, but so far that trade's just not looking great for them. Yeah, I hate to see it. I look at this team and I think, you know, provided Mahomes comes back healthy, they'll be fine on offense. I mean, look what Matt Moore did, just shredding.
Right.
Love you, Andy Reid. But I just don't think this defense is good enough.
You know,
the stretch. I just think it's going to be the same movie.
Right. But I mean, the movie last year was not that their defense cost them necessarily. Like, I think we all agree that they played well enough to win that game, and they probably outplayed the Patriots in the game, in the championship game last year. Right? You would disagree with that?
I don't know. Outplayed is the word I would use.
Well, they played well enough to win. I don't think the reason why they lost. Yeah, I don't think that they were outclassed or they were like a step above or they were a step
below
the Patriots.
No, I don't think so.
My point is they had a championship quality team last year, and I think they still have pretty much 100%. The same dream team right now. And Mahomes is going to have to play otherworldly because that defense is so bad. But I think he's capable of doing that.
Yeah. And it's a shame they couldn't add like a linebacker or something. AFC, man. So the next team, I think, was a lot harder to pick a weakness. And that's Minnesota, which FBI's got all the way up here. Number four. Because if you're looking at like the Minnesota post Kirk Cousins apology tour, you really cannot choose anything on the offense.
No.
They've just shredded. This is all like contingent on the notion that you believe it, right? And that it's sustainable. Which is, I would not bet a lot of money on that. Again, Kirk Cousins has been playing incredibly well. They obviously have the pass catchers. Dalvin Cook is, if you want to talk about Christian McCaffrey's MVP candidate, you got to throw running backs aren't, but anyways, you would throw, Dalvin Cook into that group as well. He's been phenomenal. I guess the offensive line, I think is still not great. They look better this
but
year.
They aren't
I think a
bad.
Lot of that is helped by the scheme and the use of, no, they're not bad. Yeah.
Right.
I think
they were bad for the last couple running, seasons.
Yes, totally. And the amount of play action really helps, I think. They've been doing things to help them. Yeah, and like Josh Klein on the right side, Brian O'Neill, they've been good. Bradbury, it's funny, the first few games, who was their rookie center, everyone was talking like, hey, he's so good. He really wasn't, but he's gotten better. Elflein's not been awesome, but I don't think they're bad. And so I can't choose Cousins because he's been incredible recently. So for me, Dominique, I think it's cornerback.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, it is weird.
Right? I wouldn't have thought that. What's wrong with Xavier Rhodes?
I don't know. First, before we get off
shouldn't have come up with that nickname.
Before we get off of quarterback, I think it's fair to throw out there that he is inconsistent. I think you can't say that he's playing poorly but I think you can say that's a legitimate fear. If you think of what's going to take this team down, is that Kirk Cousins has one of those bad Kirk Cousins games at the wrong time or is unable to close at the end.
100%.
Yeah, so I still feel like that the qualifies pumpkin, as a weakness potentially, but I think you're right. I have no answer for what is wrong with Xavier Rhodes. I do think that it's a demanding position and it's one of those positions where, a step slow, like, or you lose a step of quickness or a step of speed, like it's something that can come down, can kind of roll downhill and become a bigger problem than it actually is. I'm not saying that's what happened to Xavier, but I don't have a better explanation.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, Case Keenum was picking on him in that game. It was weird.
Case Keenum.
It's funny because I think going into the season, I know, Case Keenum picking on Xavier Rhodes, what a world we live in today. But, you know, I thought Harrison Smith was kind of washed. I was really not. He has absolutely outplayed my expectations this year. With him and Harris have just been excellent. So, and I think that front has been fabulous. Yeah, I don't think Rhodes is in danger of getting benched, and I think they've got depth there. But if I had to choose a weakness on this team, against like a Green Bay or whatever, that would be it for me. Cornerback. Yeah.
It's hard for me to disagree with you, and like I can't speak much to the safeties because I in order to like evaluate safeties for me at least, like I have to watch them from like coach's film the entire game because like I get confused, you know, like just because you get interceptions doesn't mean you're doing the right thing, and just because like you get a ball caught in your vicinity without understanding, so I can't really speak to how good their safeties have played, but I can see that Xavier Rhodes in man coverage is not the same that he once was.
Yeah, I agree with you on the safeties because you just don't see them at the time until you watch the All-22. All right, the fifth team, which, you know, I think most people probably think is being higher and better and Breeze has been out, but it's the New Orleans Saints. So tell me, Dominique, what is the weakness of the New Orleans Saints?
I think they're the most well-rounded team, honestly. Like, I had a hard time coming up with...
I got Saints-Pats Super Bowl right now.
I had a hard time coming up with...
Even though I just said the Niners are a better team.
Yeah, I had a hard time coming up with a weakness for them just from my, from the statistical analysis and certainly also from like the eye test. Like nothing about them seems to be, like they give up plays occasionally, but everyone does. It doesn't seem like it seems like their defense is strong and has been consistent. Their corners have been outstanding, particularly Marshon Lattimore has been outstanding and Eli Apple's been impressive. Their front has been tremendous against the run and been able to get pressure. I haven't seen their linebackers in coverage a lot. That's one of the things that I like to go back to the Patriots for a second. That's one of the things that I worry about with them is their linebackers in space is not great. I haven't seen a lot of, the Saints linebackers in coverage. So I can't speak to that necessarily, but, and on the offensive side of the ball, it's hard to evaluate this team with not having Drew Brees in there. He just came back last week and they looked good enough against a pretty bad Cardinals team. So I don't know. They've played the toughest schedule of anybody of the five teams that I evaluated. They had the toughest schedule and they've managed to win. They're seventh in offensive DVOA and eighth in defensive DVOA, which is pretty freaking impressive. So what are you going to tell me? What am I missing? What's the weakness?
Oh, I don't think you're missing anything. I still think they're thin at pass catcher.
Right.
Which has always been the case, but they burned through draft capital, so I didn't anticipate them going after anyone. Michael Thomas is still very, very good.
Yeah.
But I guess that would be the one, you know, if you're able to neutralize him.
Deep threat.
I think
right?
that's sort of the, yeah, yeah. So I would say that probably, and it's funny because that was what we thought going into the season as well. The other thing going into the season was there's questions about whether we would see final month Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to talk about that because he hasn't been playing. He looked good on Sunday. So, I wonder if in some ways that might actually, by the way, Dominique, help him down the stretch from like a load management perspective.
Yeah, I think it's
be a blessing in disguise.
The wear and tear. I mean, it's certainly a blessing to get some weeks off and to not lose with Drew Brees at your quarterback or to have him on the bench. So yeah, I think it'll be good for them if the wear and tear is wearing on them. I guess also, so the pass rush win rate is not very good. And I guess this is my eyes deceiving me because I feel like when I watch those games, they're getting pressure, but, They're 24th in pass rush win rate, but when I watch the game, it seems like they get pressure when they need the pressure. So maybe I can throw out these stat nerds and say my eye test tells me that they can get pressure.
There's some interesting ones with pass rush and pass block. We're going to get to a couple with the remaining teams that are it's really useful to see, especially with offensive lines. I feel like this is so dumb, but I feel like it's easier for me to evaluate pass rush than pass blocking.
Right.
And I'm more likely to doubt the statistics on a pass rush. When I see pass block win rate, I'm like, oh, okay, that's probably right. I probably missed it. It's probably the quarterback's fault. Yeah. I don't know anything about offensive line play. So,
but you know your blind spot, which makes you good.
Don't
pretend like you know everything.
Mm-hmm. Before we get to those other teams, want to tell you about ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a slow process. Catfail Tura's CEO, Dylan Miskowitz, needed to hire a director of coffee for his organic coffee company, but he's having trouble finding qualified candidates, so he switched to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Dylan posted his job on ZipRecruiter and said he was impressed by how quickly he had great candidates apply. He also used ZipRecruiter's candidate rating feature to filter his applicants so he could focus on the most relevant ones. And that is how Dylan found his new director of coffee in just a few days. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try ZipRecruiter for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MINA. ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Question. Lenny, for your thoughts.
So, Dominique, I do these questions in chronological order, right? So I'm still in the summer, but the next question just so happened to coincide perfectly with a piece of news from today. C.D. Waits asked, which team would benefit from having Andy Dalton?
Bears.
I wish they traded for him. So for those who missed the news, Dalton was benched today for Ryan Finley, which by the tangent, but Week 16, Dolphins, Bengals. Gotta flex that. Gotta flex that to the night game. I feel like we should do like a live feed watching it. Like, I'm probably more pumped for that game than anything except for the playoffs at this point.
I like it. I'm down for a live experience.
I was kind of hoping the Bears might consider trading for Dalton. I think he's better than Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I went on a limb and said that they should trade for Ryan Fitzpatrick because I think that anybody who can like complete consistent passes would be a step up from old Mitchell.
So I think I texted this to you. Last night we had the Dolphins game on, the Dolphins-Steelers game. It's Tuesday. And my husband doesn't watch football. And he was kind of watching kind of casually while we were eating. And he turned to me and he's like, so they're really bad, right? And I was like, yeah, they're really bad. He's like, I'm just like, usually there's one player who's good. Like, there's usually, even on a really bad team, isn't there usually like one good guy? And I was like, no. And he's like, and then he said to me, is something amiss? Yeah, you can put it that way.
Oh.
Is something amiss? Was his analysis.
I love him. That's great. Yes, it's called.
Actually, that transitions to our next question. I'm Not That Brad asks, if my husband, you guys have been asking a lot of questions about him lately, has any hobbies other than non-sports? Well, funny you asked. I just tweeted about this. He just launched a app for music creators. You guys should check it out. It's called Bounce. His job is making music, but it's like a music collaboration. It's kind of like Dropbox for music.
Well, once your job becomes a hobby, though, can you still call it a hobby? Like, you used to,
I don't know,
follow sports, but now that it's your job, do you consider it a hobby still?
I have to because I don't have any other hobbies. Crosswords. What's your hobby? Do you have a hobby?
Lots of hobbies. All of them.
Like what?
I have all the hobbies. I collect stamps.
Just pick one.
And coins.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Cards. I play some Xbox here or there. That's a hobby, right? I actually like to read. I haven't read anything in a while, but that's a hobby. I started the Coates novel. I started it before the football season started, and I have not finished it yet, so I guess I can't claim reading as a hobby anymore.
I guess crosswords are mine.
That's a good hobby.
Did you ever collect stuff as a kid? You said you were joking about the coins.
I used to collect. You remember when the Marvel had playing cards, or not playing cards, trading cards? Yeah, I used to collect those.
Yeah.
I didn't collect sports trading cards. I collected all the Marvel cards that had the stats on the back for what their powers and stuff. I was a pretty cool kid.
Which was your favorite one?
I really like Colossus. I was a big Colossus fan.
Oh,
Apocalypse,
scary.
Cable, loved them. But then,
so all the big buff guys, yeah.
Yeah, then puberty hit and I no longer cared about anything but football and girls.
Was there a transitional phase where you liked your rogue card?
Nah, I went straight to real women. I didn't mess around with fantasizing about rogue.
In retrospect, those were way too,
I mean, Storm, so bad. Is that going to get dropped? I'm going to cut this.
No, no one's still listening. on the suits. GR Sent asks, what would Lenny name his fantasy team? Mine is called Stat Sheet and Hooch. Well, it's funny because one of my fantasy teams is called Lenny's Dogs, and it's a picture of Lenny, which is weird because Lenny is a dog. So Lenny wouldn't own dogs, but I think I meant dogs as friends. Oh. So I wonder if Lenny for his fantasy team would have Mina's dogs, and it would be a picture of me.
But wouldn't it then be Mina's humans?
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I don't think dogs call each other dogs. They call each other humans because we call our friends dogs.
That's a really good point. Christo Holy Moses. Ooh, this is a good one for you. If tomorrow is the start of the zombie apocalypse, who's on your squad? Pick one NFL head coach, one ESPN personality, and one cartoon character.
All right. Go first. You got to go Belichick.
Yep.
I mean, it's easy, hands down. Either you go Belichick or you go with Mike Vrabel, because I feel like he can fight off some zombies. But you go Belichick so he can put together some strategy for you. Mm-hmm. ESPN personality. It's a tough one. Who would you go with? Like, I feel like I could go with you, but I mean, it's just because we're friends. It's not like I
know. You mean, don't pretend it would be me.
Yeah, I don't think that you actually
let's
like
be real here.
Want to fight
I would
with
add
some zombies.
Zero utility. Yeah, we're really talking about like who would win in a fight, right? And also like savvy, calm, cunning.
Yeah.
I'll go Lewis Riddick.
That's a good one. Yeah. I'll put Lou on there. He's a former athlete. He's got some fight in him. I'll take him. And what else? Cartoon character?
Yeah. Hmm. Cable?
Yeah. I mean, you gotta know who's
Wolverine.
Yeah, I guess he could be a good one. I mean, do they have brains, the zombies? Cause then you gotta go Professor X, cause then he can just have them all. He can just like make them all turn around
thinking,
and stop.
Right, cause you'd want someone who has access to their full powers. I was thinking Wolverine cause he doesn't need a weapon cause his weapons are on hand, literally, but I think Professor X is a good answer. Last question. T-Man LP asks, what did you think of the Leftovers finale? Amazing. Perfect. If you guys haven't watched Leftovers, it's like my favorite show that I never get to talk about because nobody watched it. You haven't seen it, have you?
Nope. Sounds delicious, though.
I want to talk about it, but I don't want to spoil it for people who haven't seen it, so I can't really talk about it, but you guys should watch it. I've got the next team.
All right.
Number 6 on the list is the Green Bay Packers. So I think this is an interesting one because I think the knee-jerk reaction is to say their weakness is receiver.
Right.
Like you'd want to add, cause ahead of the trade deadline, there was some talk, oh, maybe they'll go for, you know, Sanu or Sanders or like an AJ Green. But AJ Green is one of those guys like Patrick Peterson where I just refuse to believe trade rumors now. I'm just not going down that path ever again. Those guys are never being traded. But, you know, it's like who's the band that they're always talking about reuniting, like the Fugees or something.
Oh,
right. Like,
yeah, they're not getting back.
That's
together.
The Patrick. Yeah, it's
not Lauren's gone.
So anyways, obviously,
I mean, I call them a group, not a band, but whatever.
It's true. It's a group. You're right. Yeah. See how quickly I give in, by the way, when you're right on stuff. Have you noticed?
I mean, when I'm right, I'm right. If I were wrong, you would argue.
That's true. Then you just did it again. all right. So, yeah. So receiver is kind of the obvious one, especially with Adams out, but and given how dominant the offense has been over the last few weeks. Although I actually think Alan Lazard's really good. I kind of do. There's some metrics that we've got.
Really?
Some of those next gen stats show that he is overproducing. So,
nice.
It's funny, by the way, when we talk about receiver, it's really, after Adams, his best receiver is Aaron Jones, right? Like, Matt LaFleur's, and as we talk about this season, I think LaFleur's been up and down and he's gotten better and you can see him sort of learning, adjusting to Rodgers' game and his when he likes to improvise, you know, on like third down and in certain situations. But I think he deserves a ton of credit for the way he's integrated Jones into this offense compared to McCarthy. So anyways, I do think obviously after it is a thin group, but I actually think they're bigger weakness is on defense at linebacker.
Yeah.
This team started out really strong on defense, but they've actually struggled a bit. I mean, they just got shredded by Matt Moore, who converted like 300 third and longs, it felt like. Looks like 6. And I think a lot of that had to do... Yeah, I don't think they are getting a sufficient pass rush. I mean, they didn't touch Derek Carr. Even though Rodgers shredded in that game, I still believe in Za'Darius Smith. But I just think Blake Martinez has been sort of unimpressive to me. And then next to him, they've got BJ Goodson and Oren Burks. So I just think that's the area of the team. They're kind of soft in the middle. So that would be the area I'm concerned about down the stretch.
Yeah, I loved this defense before the season started. And I was taking a victory lap in the first few weeks.
Me too.
But the last couple weeks, I've been kind of quiet. They've still been winning. So no one's called me on it yet. But their defense has not been very impressive lately. So, yeah, I think the weakest spot on that defense is probably those linebackers. But I got to be honest, the secondary hasn't looked as good as they did early in the season either. So... that is, and I guess I didn't have the same assessment of the pass rush as you. You may be right, but I've been drinking the Kool-Aid on the Smith brothers, as they've been called, getting home against most quarterbacks.
Lenny just started coughing.
Get well, Lenny.
Obviously disagrees.
Get that flu shot.
So the next team is one that kind of higher rank than I would have guessed, but was thought to be a candidate to make a big move ahead of the trade deadline, and they did not, and that is the Dallas Cowboys. Would you say that they suffered? Do they have a very gaping hole in their team that they didn't fill?
Yeah, I mean, well, from a production standpoint, it's their entire defense. It's like they have names and they have talent, but they aren't playing well. They haven't played well all season, and it's leaking over and infecting the way that their offense produces and infecting the image of their offense. And even when they had that 3-game losing streak and everyone was down on Dak Prescott, through that stretch they were moving the ball as well as most teams in the league. I think they were top 5 as far as yards per drive, but they were getting terrible, terrible field position. So it's mm-hmm. really hard to score points. It's hard to put a number of first downs together. So when you're able to do it from midfield or from the 30 or something like that, you'll get into field goal range. You'll get into the red zone, but they were backed up and they still have pretty bad, even after winning that big win, blowout win where they had, fumbles that cause fumbles and create really, really short field. They're still really bad as far as field position is concerned, and they really can't stop anybody through the air or on the ground. So their defense has been bad, even though they have a lot of big names.
Yeah, Dak Prescott is not the problem on this team. I mean, I think the whole defense is maybe a little expansive, but I don't think at any level, except for linebacker, they haven't been particularly strong. So let me ask you this, Dominique. The team I mentioned that they were being thrown around before the trade deadline as a rumored acquirer, Jamal Adams, jet safety, was tied to them. Apparently, I think I saw somewhere they wanted the Jalen Ramsey deal. Dallas said no. Do you think they made a mistake in not going after Adams?
No, I don't think they made a mistake necessarily. Well, I guess it's hard to say with not knowing what the price is. So, like, of course, they're better off with Adams. I don't know what it would have cost, but I guess the point is this team wants to win this year, so maybe every cost is worth it. But, yeah, I don't think they necessarily made a mistake because their defense was good last year. And I know their linebackers are a bunch of big names who are very capable and talented, but I'm not even sure that I would defend them as a group that has played well so far this season. I think the pass rush has been pretty impressive. If we're gonna like applaud any group on that team, but we're seeing something different. But I haven't been all that impressed with what the linebackers are doing either. So I don't know that the answer would have been Jamal Adams, but they certainly get better with Jamal Adams.
Yeah, I think, by the way, the linebackers have been inconsistent. So I think you're right. Let's see, by the way. I was pulling up the statistics. Oh, it's interesting. They're 17th against the pass, 17th against the run.
Equally stinky. Or mediocre, I guess.
Yeah, they certainly aren't playing like the world's beating unit that they have been portrayed as in the past. But all these things are kind of connected. So the next team I will take. So earlier I mentioned that pass rush win and pass rush block sometimes show you things that people might be surprised by. I think this is a good example of one of those teams. It's the Houston Texans, who rank 7th in pass block win rate. They're sort of the poster child for teams where you should blame the offensive line on the quarterback. And while I think that's a little overstated sometimes, I do think that there's a lot of truth to it. I think that, you know, they had the big Laremy Tunsil trade and Titus Howard has been hurt, but aside from that, I do think the offensive line has shown a lot of improvement, and it's certainly not the weakness on this team after they lost star J.J. Watt for the rest of the season because he was their entire pass rush, and it's rough now. It's not great. Watt was so good this season, Dominique. I mean, he was just constantly double teamed, second only to Jadeveon Clowney, led the league. What? That's not my stat. It's just...
No. I mean, you didn't find it funny that he's second to Jadeveon Clowney, that they traded away that they could probably use now?
Delighted. He led the league in quarterback hits. And, you know, Whitney Mercilus kind of had a nice start to the season and benefited, I think, a lot from Watt being double teamed, but he's been quieted a bit. And I don't think Whitney Mercilus alone with like DJ Reader, who's a very good run defender, I just don't think it's enough. I just think with Watt out, this, defensive line is just really going to suffer. There's just not a lot of depth there. So, I'll be curious to see what they do. Obviously, they didn't have any ammunition to make moves, after trading away their entire draft. So, it's funny. Before they lost Watt, they were blitzing at an extremely high rate. One would think that they would have to blitz even more now. But, you know, you and I always talk about how pass rush and coverage works together. This is not a good secondary, and it's going to get really exposed.
Yeah, I mean, I think we could project one of the talking points on some of the shows on Monday was, is Deshaun Watson good enough to overcome this loss being J.J. Watt? And I don't think – I mean, I think Deshaun Watson is great, but it's going to be tough because he's kind of the linchpin to a very fragile defense, J.J. Watt, that is. And you take that one kind of stud out of that group, I'm not sure what happens if they could potentially completely fall off a cliff.
It's not going to be pretty. Which is such a shame with Watson playing the way he is. Okay, next team, is you, because I felt I would be too biased because everyone knows I'm a traitor.
Yes,
and that's the Los Angeles Rams.
Yes, you are a member of the Ramley.
Who pulled off the only real trade of the day in sending Aqib Talib to Miami, exchange for like a fifth or so. It's basically a salary dump. So tell me, Dominique, what is the weakness of this Rams team?
I think it's their offense and quarterback play and offensive line, I guess, more specifically, because all of this, I think the belief is all of this is tied to their offensive line. The offensive line could protect better. They could run the ball better. Jared Goff would perform to the level that he did last year. But all of that stuff, I don't know where to point the finger that Jared Goff can't overcome these things or point the finger at the fact that McVay can't scheme them out of this or just point the finger at the talent on the offensive line. But I think their offense is the problem on this team, and that offensive problem stems from the offensive line.
I was just curious. They're up to fourth in defensive the way now.
Oh, yeah. That is impressive.
Speaking of McVay, did you see the quadruple reverse flea flicker?
I did.
The Bengals. Why you got to roll that out against the Bengals? Like, save that for a better team. Was amazing. They've certainly had a nice pick-me-up on the schedule with the Atlanta and then Cincinnati. And they've got the Steelers next week. And then it gets a bit harder. Their schedule actually isn't that bad after that.
They're kind of the opposite of the Cowboys in, like, that field position stat. They are the worst as far as defensive field position is concerned. So their offense is not getting first downs, and they're punting from backed up, and they're putting their defense in a tough spot where they need to stop teams where they can't even allow the opponent to get a first down because then they're in field goal range, and that's tough.
Yep. It's the line. It's Goff. It's, you know, whether or not they can continue to sort of improve as they have against these extremely bad defenses, it's going to be really, I think, what determines the future of this team. So the last team is the Ravens, which I already revealed. I think there are two areas you could locate here. One, to a lesser degree, I'd say wide receiver. So Hollywood's been in and out of the lineup, but I think his presence obviously makes a big difference because aside from that, you know, Jackson does tend to favor the tight ends, but he hasn't really developed chemistry with Boykin or Snead this year. So I would say having Hollywood around consistently will help to that end. But I don't really think that's an issue. I don't think the offense is the issue. I would say on the defensive side, the defense has looked a lot worse than perhaps people expected. They did make a move. Trading for Peters already paid dividends against Seattle. I'm more concerned about the defensive line, or the linebackers and outside linebackers, rather, and the pass rush on this team, which they rank, and this is another one of those pass rush statistics. I think they rank second in pass rush win rate. So,
yeah. Wow.
But here's the reason why I'm saying that. They just lost Pernell McPhee.
Right.
So, right now, they're just very thin.
Right.
there. They only have 12 sacks. Again, they rank high in pass rush win rate, but I think having lost McPhee, even though I still think Matthew Judon's very good, he was excellent against Seattle. Brandon Williams is able to generate a nice interior pass rush. It's just, it's getting thinner and thinner. So that would be the concern for me.
Yeah, their defense is not, I mean, the Ravens always carry a reputation of having a great defense, and it's been well earned, but their defense has not been all that impressive so far this year. And I hate to say it, but your guy Earl Thomas, he hasn't been the difference maker that people would have expected him to be. And I mean, he borders on liability at sometimes on this defense, which is they're asking him to do a lot more than what they used to ask him to do in Seattle, where he was just kind of a middle third player who had great instincts. And I mean, instincts makes it seem like I'm saying he's not smart, which I don't mean that at all. Like, he obviously was well prepared and pretty smart when it came to making plays, but it's not showing itself on this defense. And I think that's what they were banking on, him kind of lifting this defense in a way that they're used to, like Ed Reed doing, and he's not doing that.
Yeah, he's not been the best player. You know, he hasn't been playing at anywhere close to a Pro Bowl level. I don't think I wouldn't describe him as a liability based on the games that I've watched. So perhaps there's been other ones where he's struggled more, but he certainly hasn't been great. Marlon Humphrey has been, by the way, Pro Bowl level player. Absolutely. Brandon Carr has played well too. I think Peters was a nice addition. I'm less worried about the secondary. I think also they added LJ Fort, who's played weirdly good, linebacker. So I just think up front with McPhee gone, who was also, I think, playing quite well, it's going to be a challenge to sustain that level of pressure.
I guess I brought him up because I was thinking about him kind of in the J.J. Watt mold, as they were thinking that he's going to his level of play is going to make life easier for everybody else, and it's not happening.
I think that's accurate. Before I get to my questions for you, I want to quickly tell you guys again about ZipRecruiter. Hiring can be a challenge, as Codable co-founder Gretchen Huebner discovered. Gretchen needed to hire a game artist for her education tech company. She knew it wouldn't be easy to find someone to grow with her team. That's why she went to ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job so you get qualified candidates fast. Gretchen posted her job on ZipRecruiter and said she was impressed with how quickly she found qualified applicants. She also used ZipRecruiter's screening questions to filter the candidates so she could focus on the best ones. And that is how Gretchen found a new game artist in less than 2 weeks. With results like that, it's no wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See why ZipRecruiter is effective for businesses of all sizes. Try it for free at our web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. That's ZipRecruiter.com/MINA. ZipRecruiter.com/Mina. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
And now it's time for Dinks and Dunks. I'm getting paid for this, right?
Last night, you tweeted, "Break the tank." If you're a Dolphin fan, should you really want your team to win?
That's a question for me to answer.
Yeah. If you were a Dolphins fan, would you have wanted your team to win that game?
No.
Right.
Yeah, probably not. I would not. And if I were in the Dolphins front office, I would also not want to win that game. But still doesn't make it right.
How'd you feel about that zero blitz call?
Oh, my gosh. It was so putrid. That's a good play, though, if you're trying. So the bad part is the tank implies, saying that they're tanking implies that the coaches and the players
want to
lose.
They're not now. I'm so sick of this caveat. Everyone's like, oh, players don't tank, coaches. Yeah,
No. I think some players probably do tank. Some coaches probably do tank. But in this situation, they aren't. I don't know. I guess that's part of the reason why it makes it kind of painful to watch where they're out there trying and you know they have no chance and no one actually wants them to succeed. It's like, oh, poor guys.
I know. They were telling, Brian Flores is this amazing story of overcoming adversity. I was like, stop telling it.
Yeah, I know.
You don't need to hear this right now. It's not his fault.
Hopefully. I mean, it'll be great when they come back and some of those guys are around and maybe they'll have some success at some point. But the funny thing is how because of what I said about tanking early in the season, Dolphins fans think I actually care. And they'll get in my mentions and see, look, we lost. Now, how do you like that? I mean, I was just trying to have a little fun, make it a little joke. I don't care. Lose all your games. Get some high draft picks. I hope you get good.
Halloween is coming up.
It is.
If you were to dress up as a football player, who would you dress up as?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That would, yeah, that's the only right answer.
Or I guess Minshew is probably popular this year too, right?
Oh, there's going to be so many Minshews.
There's already too many Minshews.
We as a society are prepared for the amount of Minshews.
Cam Newton. I could wear some crazy fit and be Cam Newton.
Oh, yeah, the
fits.
That's
the only point. Yeah. It's just like, no, not in-game Cam. It's post-game Cam.
Post-game Cam, yeah. Post-game Cam should have showed up after that last Kyle Allen performance, by the way. I would have liked to see that. Just brought out his best fit. got real quiet down there in Carolina about him being replaced. I mean, the real Panthers fans weren't saying that, but...
Yeah.
What is the best candy?
I like sour candies. I like gummies.
Like Sour Patch Kids?
Sour Patch Kids are good, but you know who has stepped above the Sour Patch Kids? The sour gummy lifesavers. Get you a bag.
Really? Wait, that's like 10 things I didn't know lifesavers came in.
Oh, sour gummy lifesavers. Get you a bag, then holla at me. You remember when you turned me on to halloumi? I'm doing the same thing for you with some sugary treats.
Okay. All right. I'll try them. I like sour stuff.
Okay.
I like, you know, the only candies I don't like are like Red Hots. Ugh.
Oh, yeah. I don't understand. Ooh. I don't get that. Why do you want it spicy?
It's so weird. I know. It's like going back. I only like when they use them on like Chopped or Top Chef. They're like turn Red Hots into like a, you know, chicken dish. I think that's fine, but I would never eat them casually. So during the game, after this weekend, I've started to hear, and during that game, I mean Monday night, more people talking about, look, Chase Young, he's clearly the best player in the draft. He should be the number one pick, which, yeah, he's the most talented player. But my question for you is, if you're a team that takes a quarterback, even if he's the most talented player, there's no way any of these teams take Chase Young, right?
Not if they need a quarterback and they have the number one overall pick. Like, that's just not what you do. I mean, unless you don't believe in any of the quarterbacks that are there. But that is, right. I mean, you're betting your job on it, essentially, on those quarterbacks failing. Because even if Chase Young or whoever you draft turns out to be awesome, if any of those other quarterbacks turn out to be they don't even have to be Pro Bowl caliber. If any of them turn out to be a legitimate starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback, then your job is done.
Hmm.
But you don't get fired. I mean, if you draft a quarterback, not necessarily. If you draft a quarterback and he stinks, you can just say he's a bust and people will keep you around.
I just remembered Bradley Chubb was the number 5 pick in the 2018 draft. You think they would rather have Bradley Chubb or Lamar Jackson in Denver right now?
Yeah, Lamar Jackson, obviously.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, there's a difference between being the best player and, I mean, it just kind of goes to what you're saying. It's quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. It's pretty much what it is. Question 5 is from Lenny. I'll be asking it in my own voice.
Oh, no.
Lenny was on social media late at night, as he tends to do. And he says he saw you dressed up as a cowboy. He wants to know if you were wearing a child's costume.
Oh, no. That's just what I'm into. It's one of my proclivities.